The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every taking us in, we appreciate it. It is a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa Hotel Resort Casino.
Yes.
Casino Resort Hotel.
Spa? I don't think there's a spa here, actually.
There's no spa?
I don't know. I should have talked.
Circa, known for two things primarily, a massive sports book, the biggest in the world, and then Stadium Swim, a pool where everybody watches sporting events and bets on them as well.
That's right.
Which, when Derek Stevens came up with that idea, some of us were like, really, Derek? Are people going to watch a Astros-Mariners game on a Wednesday in the middle of July? He's like, yeah, they will.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. They will.
Yeah, he's right.
I have never been out there, actually, where it hasn't been absolutely jammed with people.
Jam. All right. Too much to get to on this show. I'm not sure if we have enough time in 2 hours. First of all, our guests. Drew Dinsick will join us. Whale Capper, talk NFL. Week four gone by. Week five coming up. Will Hill with all of his bets, baseball and beyond, as the postseason is finally here. Todd Wright on some fantasy. And then Paul Spohr, full MLB preview, all four wild card series. He's got thoughts. We'll do game ones. We'll do the series themselves. We'll get into the format. Should I just do the format real quick? No, let me save the format when we talk baseball. I want to talk about the bets that we lost yesterday on baseball, because that Mets-Braves doubleheader, let's just start there. That Mets-Braves doubleheader was, at least the first game, was everything you could have possibly hoped for in game, 2,429 of the MLB season. It was the best game of all of them. So if you sat out the first 2,428, you didn't miss much if you just landed on that game. As we show the win probability chart of this, remember, headed into the game, Mets and Braves, if they split, they both got in. If there was a sweep, the team doing the sweeping and the Diamondbacks would get in. It was 3-0 Braves, just sort of moseying along in this ballgame. And then a 6-run eighth, top half of the eighth, from the Mets turn this around, only to have the Braves score 4 in the bottom half to retake the lead against Edwin Diaz, 7-6, only to have Francisco Lindor, Chris Felica's NL MVP.
It's incredible. Because
he's completely cray. Only to have the Mets go back up in the top of the ninth and win that game one and clinch a playoff berth. And as great as the first game was, then the second game was as ho-hum as you might have imagined it to be.
Yep.
The Braves took a 1-0 lead, which might as well have been a 100-0 lead. They end up winning it 3-0 going away. Hard to sort of get involved in that game. But anyway, in the end, the Mets and the Braves make the postseason. My Braves to miss does not win. Took it to the last game of the season. Did not win at 7.5-1, nor does our show bet at 8-1 win. And the Diamondbacks, I have a couple Diamondbacks World Series matchups. Those are gone by the wayside. I have 6 more. We'll get to those later on the show that I made as well. I went crazy with World Series matchups. Never done this before.
Yes, you did.
But I've been preaching for 2 months now. This is the year to do them. This is the year to do them, to hit one of these. We'll show them later on the show, guys. We'll do that coming up.
Specifically on the match, we talked about this a couple times, though. Matchups versus exactas. Are you a believer in that going forward, the matchups, or is it just specifically for baseball?
I for this year's baseball season, I see no reason why you should add that extra series when the numbers on the matchups are awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
So there it is. Baseball, we'll get to. I'll give you all my picks. We'll go through the format. A lot of people aren't even aware of what the format is on the baseball postseason. We'll get to that coming up. Look at that. That's a beautiful looking bracket right there. Free for all. Throw them all up in the air. We'll see what happens. Okay, football yesterday, real quick, because we got to get to these two games also before we get to Drew. Monday night doubleheader, which we all love a Monday night doubleheader. After that baseball game, after game one between the Braves and the Mets, I immediately thought, oh, good luck, NFL, with your Titans-Dolphins matchup topping this.
Yeah.
And yeah, I sort of floated this earlier in the week that I think the Dolphins might be the worst team in the NFL. They might be the worst team in the NFL. They lose. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, because Tua's not there. Okay. They lose 31-12 in the end to the Tennessee Titans. That score a little worse than it actually was, because there was a really strange penalty at the end for a free kick after a safety that Tyler Huntley took that the announcers and the official in the booth had no idea how to explain to the viewing audience. Tennessee ended up with the ball at the Miami 10 after the safety. And they got another garbage touchdown. Anyway, Will Levis knocked out of this game early with a shoulder injury. Not too early, though, for him to throw a pick right to the opponent, right to the chest of a defensive lineman. So there was that.
Who caught it with his legs?
Who caught it with his legs, ultimately.
Which I love seeing, Gil, because I just need Levis to keep playing. Don't bench him. Don't bench him.
Oh, God.
Most interceptions. Let's go.
Well, Mason Rudolph went the rest of the way. Mason Rudolph better than Will Levis, but I'm not sure if he's the answer either. He was 9 of 17 for 85 yards. By the way, that interception by Emmanuel Ogba, just to be clear on that. But anyway, 31-12. Let's just talk about this for a second. First of all, congratulations to everybody who had Jacksonville last winless. You are the winner. The Jacksonville Jaguars are the last winless team in the National Football League after just 4 weeks. Never would I have even considered them. So I can't even get upset about that. But a couple things. One, Tennessee, they're going back to Levis. It appears, if you're listening to everything they say after the game, they're going back to Levis. This is not a quarterback controversy. They're going back to Billy Levis, who, again, ill-advised in his short time in that game yesterday. I am actually more interested in the Dolphins side of this because I have to tell you that I've been saying, you know, with the Mike McDaniel thing, that people, I've been saying sort of derisively that NFL Neanderthals are going to turn against him because he's a quirky guy and he's a nerdy guy. And if things go bad, that kind of stuff doesn't really play as well. I have to tell you, I thought that was a terrible, there's a couple things going on here. That was a terrible coaching job by the Dolphins yesterday, I thought. And also, it's front office malpractice that they didn't have a backup in place that was suitable for them. So Mike White, they got rid of at some point, right? Tim Boyle, who played last week, apparently they just think he was terrible, and so he wasn't ready to play in this game. And so they went up, they pick up Tyler Huntley. Tyler Huntley, who, by the way, Pro Bowler. I just want to say that.
Yeah, what was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah, Pro Bowler at one point.
I forgot to make that joke yesterday.
But seriously, there is something about being able to, like, if you can't coach up a guy, so obviously Pro Bowler was an anomaly, but if you can't coach up a guy who is a veteran in this league and who does have running ability, so he is multidimensional, right? If you can't coach up a guy for one game on short, you know, as short as that run-up was.
Yeah, 2 weeks, right?
That's pretty bad. Right. I mean, again, I'll do this because I know people go crazy when I, you know, I'll bring up Joe Gibbs. If Joe Gibbs can coach up scabs to a 3-0 record, right, in 1987, that's coaching players up, right? This is, how can you not figure out a way to be more competitive in this football game? By the way, I'm also hearing Dolphins fans saying, well, this shows you how good Tua is, right? People think Tua is overrated, but this proves that Tua Tagovailoa is as good as we think he is. I don't think that's true. I think just because you were malpracticing coming up with a backup quarterback and couldn't coach up that backup quarterback doesn't immediately follow that Tua is that great. I don't think that makes that true either. So I just think the Dolphins are in bad shape. This was really bad. This was an embarrassing performance.
Yeah, I agree. I was surprised. I don't know if I won't go as strong as you with, you know, Huntley did just kind of get there. Okay, I guess you're still learning. And I'll give a little bit of excuse for that. But it is, I mean, you're talking about, the other thing about McDaniel is like, it feels like you can see it on his face. Like he seems far more checked out in game than like when his team is fully there. And he's 1-6 now, the Dolphins are without Tua.
Kelly, that was part of it. He looked like he was lost.
It looked like that the past 2 weeks when they show him on the sidelines. It's not the same fiery guy who's involved in every aspect of the game, it looks like.
The other game last night, Detroit and Seattle. Apparently, when Detroit and Seattle play, it's always going to be a high-scoring affair. It just is. 4 years in a row on this. Detroit ends up winning at 42-29. Jared Goff, 18 of 18 for 292. Now, admittedly, I was going volume back and forth between the two games, so I didn't hear Joe Buck or Troy Aikman make a big enough deal about this in the time that I had the volume up for this, so maybe someone will correct me and say that they did, but that's unbelievable. We've never seen that before. That's a record. By the way, he didn't get a perfect passer rating, which makes you say, well, then what does passer rating mean if that's not perfect?
Right,
if that's not 158.3. But the Lions just kind of outlasted them. And I will just say this. I feel better about the Seahawks having lost that game the way they did than I did them going 3-0. They were really competitive in that game. Kenneth Walker was great in defeat.
They kind of being back was obviously
huge. They got hosed on a clear defensive pass interference late that would have cut the game to one score late. Whether they win or not is still up in the air, but at least it would have been closer than the 42-29 final. But good on the Lions. This was Jared Goff's best game, not only in addition to the 18 of 18 for 292, the first quarterback in NFL history with a 100% completion rate in a game of 11-plus pass attempts. I want to say that Kurt Warner, I was seeing that Kurt Warner at 10 for 10 was the previous mark, but this is saying 11-plus pass attempts from underdog NFL. Either way, it shatters that. And he also caught a touchdown pass. And so, again, for me, Detroit and Seattle both look like playoff teams in the NFC.
Yep, completely agree. I think I was impressed with both teams last night. You're right. I've been a little bit higher on Seattle than you, but you're right. There was a little bit more confirmation, even in a loss last night, that team kind of deserves to at least be in this NFC playoff conversation. And then, man, Detroit, I think the scary part about Detroit is even with the wins they've had this season, I think this team can still get better, which that's a little scary, I think, for the rest of the NFC.
And Geno, I should not sell Geno short. 38 of 56 for 395 and made some really good plays out there as well. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on his thoughts this past weekend. What did he learn? What is noise? What is substantial? What's coming up week 5 for him and his bets that he's already made? It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game has a special offer. That's a numbers game. This week only, you can score 40% off our football season special when you use promo code ANG.
That's promo code ANG as in a numbers game, Gil.
Sign up now. Get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl, including daily best bets with the leaderboard showcasing the top pros and their impressive ROI. 19 hours of live programming featuring expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, proven betting systems used by professional handicappers, exclusive betting splits updated every 5 minutes with DraftKings odds. See where the money is moving. Save 40% off the football season special this week only when you sign up and use promo code ANG. The offer expires on October 7th. So don't wait. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. I'll save tweets for later. Yeah.
I feel like we could just be out in public if you just did that same hand motion to me. I'd just be like, that's promo code ANG is an A numbers game.
If I just pointed at you,
I was reading something
down the street. Yeah, exactly. Sorry about that. Apologize. You know what the worst feeling in sports betting is? They're the worst feeling in sports betting.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here are your choices. A, losing a whole bunch of money in a blowout. B, losing a whole bunch of money in a tight game. C, not betting your leans that end up winning large and you're just not a part of it.
The last one.
Without question.
The last one.
I don't know. I'll bring in Drew for this. Drew Dinsick, everybody, the host of not one but two podcasts, The Deep Dive with Drew Dinsick and Andy Molitor, and of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge, which he does with Jay Croucher. Jay Croucher, who gets 4 seconds or 14 seconds of fame on Sunday Night NFL on NBC, where he's up there with Matthew Barry.
Long last.
Yeah.
Finally.
With his Australian accent, as Drew Dinsick, whale underscore capper. I bring this up, Drew, because, you know, I handicap tennis every night, and for whatever reason, last night I had 3 plays. I didn't play them. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if it's enough for me to play. Of course they all win, right? Of course. Yeah, sure. The self-loathing is beyond any loss. Do you agree with that? That's the worst feeling in sports betting. I want to vomit.
It's a bad one, but I'm going to go with a D, losing a bet because you didn't know an obscure rule existed in the NFL.
Oh,
the underbettors last night were probably up wildly late at night reading the rule book to try to understand why on earth it was a goal to go situation for the Titans with 2 minutes and 20 seconds to play. I had the over, so I was like, this is the gift of a lifetime, but I didn't know the rules. I did not know that there was a penalty tacked on to a botched onside attempt like that, and you'd get goal to go Like, what a penalty.
Well, so I couldn't believe it. And in real time, I was texting. I was like, how is this? So I had an in-game where the Titans, this is how lucky I was. I luck boxed into a Tennessee minus 15 in-game because ended up with this. And so I needed the safety. I needed some rule that nobody knew existed, right? Even the official in the booth, forgive me that it was a Terry McCauley, I can't remember which official it was in the booth, could not explain it correctly, right? He did not explain it well at all. It ends up Tennessee goal to go at the 10 because they either were, what was it in the end? Were they short of the landing zone?
They kicked it too far. Yeah, they you have a 15-yard landing zone to attempt an onside kick. Also, it was unclear to me whether Miami declared that they were trying the onside kick, which might have been another aspect.
You got to say I do declare.
We give the refs a hell of a time here as bettors because usually they're terrible. But hat tip to them in this case, they got the rule right. As they obscure did. A rule as that they will ever see in football, probably could watch two, 20 more years of football and may never see that again.
I needed the safety, an obscure penalty that nobody knew, and then the Titans to actually keep trying to run it in and get it in on fourth down on a sweep. Like, what was that? What was that? You can't kneel on the ball at that. Like, it was just amazing what happened at the end of that game and the overhits.
Tony Pollard is a hero.
No, Tony Pollard is a hero. For sure he is. Man, he wanted that. He wanted that pylon. For sure he did. That was an interesting little betting moment there in that game that everyone was confused about. I was killing the Dolphins in the first segment. Like, I just think that was – it was coaching just inadequacy, not to be able to – and I know it's just – I know he's just been there. But we've seen many examples of guys just getting there. Josh Dobbs, anybody, right? Where all of a sudden guys show up, and at least in the first game, they have a good game. The fact that you weren't able to, that they were so bad with Tyler Huntley last night, and just the fact, even before that, that you didn't have a proper backup in place to begin with, ready to go. That, to me, is not getting as much sort of press as it should. Like, they should be killed for that.
Yeah, I mean, last year we came into the season and the entire drumbeat about the Dolphins was, if you're betting the Dolphins in the futures market, like, good luck hoping that Tua is going to be able to be there for 17 games. And I thought last year they at least had a little bit better plan. They came in with a Michael White as the backup.
Michael White.
And this year, Skyler was just, he was a bad call. And he obviously got hurt, which complicated things. But trying to backfill with reserve Snoop Hundley on the fly. I agree with you. Like, Mike McDaniel pretty clearly has a very complicated system he wants to run.
Yeah.
But the fact that he couldn't simplify it and any easy buttons, especially considering you have Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill on the field, like, you have outstanding skill position players to work with. It shouldn't be that tough to kind of craft a lot more kind of straightforward, simple stuff for your guy to not look like a complete, noob out there. And I guess, the Dolphins in general are a little stars and scrubby. Their defense is obviously lacking in a lot of ways. The injuries that have affected their pass rush and their secondary are meaningful. The injuries that are affecting their offensive line are meaningful, and their offensive line was weak to begin with. And, you can kind of point a lot of this stuff and be like, yeah, these things happen. But I don't think it's unfair to criticize the offensive vision in a game like last night, where nothing felt easy at all. And that's kind of crazy considering how much talent you had on the field around Hunley. And that ends up hanging around the neck of Mike McDaniel.
Such a great point you made, though, because and I made this point via text yesterday too. Is your offense so much about you and your complicated offense? No, seriously. And I go back. Yeah. I know people drive some people crazy that I do this, but I said earlier, I'm like, Gibbs coaching up Scabs to 3-0, but I won't use Gibbs. When it was Scabs in 1987, and the reason that I go back all the way there is because, here are guys off the street, literally off the street, to play NFL games. Bill Walsh and Bill Parcells famously had a game during that period where they both started, or I think Walsh started running the option. during the game. And Parcells like laughed on the other side of the sideline. And there's an image of Walsh just throwing his hands up in the air like, this is how much we have to simplify this for these players to actually run a competent offense. And if Mike McDaniel, I almost missed that one, Kelly. If Mike McDaniel couldn't figure out that he needed to do, maybe not all the way to that, right? But it was some adjustment. Sure. That's bad, dude. Like, it's not about your thing.
Yeah. And we have seen a lot of his peers do it, which makes it even worse, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's kind of consistently lumped in with the class of play callers, like the Shanahans, because he's from the Shanahan tree, obviously. LaFleur, Stefanski obviously did it last year with Joe Flacco. You know, like, there's the Kevin O'Connell is probably an example that feels unfair to hold up, because what he did specifically in the one game where he was basically kind of calling out to Josh Dobbs through the helmet, like, this is what you're going to see. This is what I want you to do. Like, that was a one-of-one kind of coaching example of, like, just in, you know, single game magnificence. And you can't expect everyone to do that all the time. But it is pretty crazy that kind of the rest of the play callers, so to speak, kind of get solid performance out of guys off the street, and McDaniel can't. Sean McVay famously he brought Baker Mayfield in, yes, on what, 24 hours
great
of prep
example,
and wins a game, yeah, on a short week. Like, mm-hmm. If you are such a master of offensive football, then you ought to have easy buttons for a situation like this. And that was the Dolphins season. You're playing an 0-3 team that's missing their best defensive player in Jeffrey Simmons. Like, it was pretty pretty surprising that the Dolphins were as toothless as they were offensively in that contest. And also kind of wild that the only successful drive they had all game was the 70 yarder that had, required 2 fourth down conversions, one that was, walked back with a penalty. But, they took till the end of the game where it was sort of street ball for Huntley for that offense to click at all, I think is, more kind of evidence of an indictment.
Do you have the same rule of 30 seconds? Seattle and Detroit, you feel good about both of those teams coming out of that game last night?
Well, Seattle's defense needs personnel desperately. That front seven was so useless. They're missing 5 of their best 7 players in the front seven, so I kind of give them an excuse. But the offense certainly looked amazing. And I thought the offensive line held up well against a defensive line that's been getting a lot of pressure this season. So, yeah, I think Seattle's definitely not to be scared, not to be concerned about. And Detroit is back to where they were last year. Amazing offense and a defense that is very beatable.
Week 5 bets from Drew in the NFL. What he's already bet, what he's thinking about betting, that's on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, un partido de números, for those listening in Spanish. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Gabadiel. He's written me a few tweets this morning, but he says, partido has like an exact feel to its viste el partido ayer. Did you watch the game last night? But anything can be a game. That's the name of the game. Would be ese es el nombre del juego. He's trying to get me. Basically, all that means is he's trying to make the case.
Right.
Yeah, he's trying to make the case that I'm using partido incorrectly, and that when you're referring to a game, it should be juego. But he is not from Spain. And what I am trying to explain, I'm not trying to explain to him. He's obviously a Spanish speaker. But if you spend time in Spain, it actually is correct to use partido. And that's why, like, when Preston was here, he was like, wait, why do you use partido? Because Preston had spent time in Portugal, Preston Johnson, mm-hmm. The owner of Collie Town. He was like, you must have spent time in Spain, because that's exactly how we use it, how they use it in Spain. I just happen to spend time there. So, again, it is correct Spanish if you're from that side of the world and a Spanish speaker. Glad we got that taken care of.
We're still getting ready for Visa Deportes, okay?
Yes.
It's still being worked on,
just
okay?
Saying, I'm using it correctly, and I am aware that on this in this hemisphere, juego is the correct word. Also, this is from J-Rod. October is the best sports month. MLB playoffs. Yes, baby. Can't wait to talk baseball coming up. Pick 10. Dolphins have to trade for Matt Stafford. Oh, okay. I'm sure he's available. Kevin
that would
Ryan.
Be a good move.
Kevin Ryan. Gil, NFL breaking news. The Tennessee Titans have changed the name of their quarterback room to The Room. That's very true. Jesse Welch. My question today is, does anybody not love the Padres for this postseason? You're right. Everybody does love the Padres, but I do think it's kind of justified. Jamie Leva, or Jaime Leva. I'm not sure. He goes, Teddy Jam for me. Don't. That was a Kelly. He goes, excellent guy impression, Gil. I'm guessing young Kelly Budley didn't catch that one. Have a great day, gentlemen. Completely went over his head.
Way over the head.
The great guy self-titled album from, what was it, 1988? Yeah, Teddy's Jam. Xavier, 82, through 4 weeks in the NFL season, who saw the Dolphins? Oh, this is great. Who saw the Dolphins being the lowest scoring team so far? Shaking my head. We were throwing this around yesterday. Imagine what the number was, and I don't know what it was. Maybe somebody has the answer for me. What was the pre-flop number on the Dolphins being the lowest scoring team in the NFL?
This season?
That number must have been astronomical. Gil's guy.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to find that one.
Gil's guy says, great show so far, guys. Keep it up. We'll try. And then TWJD says, Troy Aikman did start talking about Jeff's Goff, pardon me, it was a typo here, Goff's perfect completions during halftime and mentioned it a few times during the second half. He wasn't overwhelmed by it. Troy Aikman was not impressed by it.
Just another day for Troy. Yeah, I was going to say, I did the same thing as you. I was kind of flipping back and forth volume, so I didn't really catch
as
much.
It either, yeah.
But they started throwing up. I know I saw a graphic when he was 12 for 12, and they started throwing up graphics a lot.
I only saw it at 18 for 18. I'm like, what? Wow. And then Forrest Lehman says, I'll play devil's advocate on Detroit. Detroit's defense is a sieve, secondary disaster, which I believe contributed to Seattle looking like the greatest show on turf. Seattle had numerous defensive injuries going into the game. Numbers guys, Geno Smith was a top five quarterback last night. Kenneth Walker the third. I don't know why I threw that in the sense. He goes, am I wrong? If he's healthy, he's as good as anyone. I saw him play. Oh, now he's talking about Kenneth Walker. I saw him play at Michigan State, so I already knew. But the play where he got the first down after seemingly being brought to the ground twice was sick. Oh, yeah. There was a play in that game where Kenneth Walker was being being tossed around. It's hard to say, like whiplashed down twice. And he would not go. His knees never hit the ground, and he knew he was up, and he got the 10 yards. It's an amazing play by Kenneth Walker.
I mean, eight catches for Jackson Smith and the Jigba, too, I think is huge, just seeing his development more this year. I mean, it's a set of weapons. Seattle has a set of weapons that should be good enough to take you very far in the NFC.
Drew Dinsey, kind enough to stick around with us for a second segment. He is at whale_capper on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Drew, by the way, before we get to your picks, we mentioned this. Was it yesterday or last week?
Mm-hmm. It was last week.
Last week. Two of your fish, you went away. Yeah. You came back. Two of your fish jumped to their deaths from that tank behind you. Is that true?
Yeah. Roger and Joker.
Roger and Joker.
Yeah. This part too. All his fish are named after Roger.
Roger was my
favorite. I love it.
Roger was my and favorite too. I was pretty broken up about it. It was just a weird mass fish suicide. No idea why they jumped out of the tank.
They're like, where did our guy Drew go? And they just jumped. Can I just ask a serious question? Cause I don't want to make fun of it. Like, are you like super duper attached to the fish?
No, I mean, they're fish.
Okay. I'm just wondering.
I like the community. I still have a Rafa and an Alcaraz.
Okay.
I have a Sinner also, but he was a jerk. He was starting fights with all the other fish, so I had to move him to a separate tank.
Who was? Sinner was?
Yeah, Sinner was. Well, yeah.
All that doping's got him mad.
Yeah. I know he's super aggro.
Yeah. By the way, that has come up again. Have you seen this?
Kelly
Brown's, yes. So remember when it first came up, I was like, if his name was, you know, Kelly, if his name was, what did I say? Yannick Bidlin or Kelly Sinner, like, you know, when you were 500th on the tour, he would have totally been suspended. But with him, it's like, no, we took care of it. It's done. It's over. It's past. You guys didn't know about it, but don't worry. We took care of it. Well, apparently there's this, you'll help me with this, Drew. There's somebody. And I don't know if they have any authority whatsoever, it's like a world doping kind of body who's like, nope, that guy needs to be suspended. Is this a thing or not a thing, Drew?
I mean, they're appealing it to some higher authority. I don't understand exactly the relationship between the ITA and WADA, but apparently they do have standing and they're going to try to get this appealed. I don't think it's going to go through, but we'll see. Sinner, I mean, the tour is so much better with Sinner on it. I don't want him to be suspended for 2 years. That's for sure.
No, I don't. Going for 2 years. See, like one, 2 years, whatever. It's like, what kind of authority do they have over tennis? Probably like, who are you people?
They have filed an appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, better known as the CAS.
What is that? Who knows? What the hell is that? All right, week five, NFL, what have you bet?
Usually they just void player props when a player gets hurt.
That's right. That's right. What did you bet so far this coming week?
Well, the first one I want to get your take on is your team, the Commies, are 3.5-point favorites against the Browns. And I am on the other side of a pick here with the Browns small favorite by my numbers. This feels like the overreaction line of the season so far. The Commanders have been amazing offensively, Gil. They have played the 31st and 32nd defense in back-to-back weeks and now take on a Browns team that I think is still very, very talented on the defensive side of the ball. I think it's a little bit of a buy-low spot as Deshaun Watson is starting to play a little bit more competent quarterback despite losing to the Raiders. I thought he was fine in that game. So give me the Browns plus 3.5 as sort of the no-duh bet of the week. What's your read on that?
I thought the line was going to be higher, quite frankly. But that doesn't mean I don't understand what you're saying. I completely understand what you're saying, because I mean, this is listen, as a Skins fan, this is the thing. First of all, I'll speak for all of us. We're all kind of like, how are we supposed to act? Is this really happening? Is he going to stay healthy? Right. There's that. But the other big thing is, who have they beaten? Right. They've beaten the New York Football Giants. They've beaten the Cincinnati Bungles, and they've beaten the Arizona Cardinals. Not exactly murderer's row. So I almost think that this is a perfect sort of incremental step up in competition, right? You're still not playing the NFL's elite. So we're going to learn more about them. So I totally understand the thinking. And this is in my DNA where I'm like, no, I'm not going crazy betting Washington, right? Like, I get it. But we'll see. Like, the real question is that Washington defense. Was the Washington defense for real all of a sudden last week?
No.
So that's part of the handicap, right?
Yeah, that was dysfunctional Cardinals. I don't know what's wrong with that team. The Commanders and Daniels have to go against the Browns, the Ravens. Then they get a brief reprieve before Bears and then a brief reprieve in the Steelers. So by my numbers, those are four of the best five defenses in the NFL. The Jets would be the fifth, and they're going to play four of the best five defenses in the next 6 weeks. So a little bit of a sell high spot right now for the Commanders, in my opinion. A little bit of a buy low for the Browns at plus 3.5. Mostly sides stand out to me this week. I only have one bet on a total and it's pretty much gone. And that was over in the Bills Texans game. I played over 46.5. It's at 47, 48 now. So that would be a pass for me. But the rest of the sides that stood out for me, I make Jets Vikings about a pick 'em. So I played plus 2.5 for the Jets. I make Bears closer to minus 5. So I laid 3.5 with the Bears.
Ow.
Rams Packers number I could not square. I took the 3.5 with the Rams. I think that should be on the other side of 3. And then I am taking the cheese again and betting on the team that looked unbelievable in primetime with the Ravens. That minus 2.5 is not correct. I think that should be on the other side of 3, considering the Bengals defense is an bottom two unit in the NFL. And so I have Ravens minus 2.5. And then on Monday Night Football, I took the plus the points with the Saints. I think that should be closer to 3. So a lot of sides for me this week.
Do you worry about your Jets numbers?
A little bit, but I also think this is a really good matchup for them. The defense has outstanding coverage. That is kind of key to bringing out a little bit of disruption to a Vikings offense that has been good, but hasn't really faced a team that has this many good cover corners. And I think just in general, the Vikings defense is starting to show some cracks. I know that they had such a huge advantage in that game against the Packers that, it was just garbage time basically for so much of it that you can't really hold that against the Vikings. But there are aspects to the Vikings D that I think are starting to get a little bit exposed, and I have no idea what to make of the Jets offense. It's Hackett is a joke and Rodgers was awful against the Broncos, but I think this is a pretty good spot for the Jets.
Drew, thank you. Sorry about Roger and Joker, man.
Yeah, I know, man.
Baseball next, right here on The Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing SportTrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. SportTrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, and Arizona. Coming to Virginia in a couple weeks. Download SportTrade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. This is Kelly Bidlin. This is A Numbers Game. We get tweets at Beating the Book, and we always appreciate the feedback on the show. Remember, you can murder us as long as you're funny. We'll still read them. This is at Betting X Factors. Grant says, doesn't really matter in the end, but there's always luck involved. Goff did have an incompletion, but it was negated on an offensive PI. He was still fire. This is from Mills on, oh, this is good, from Mills on Deck. He says, well, they're fish. Nah, I don't think Drew is attached, because I did ask him, right?
Yeah,
I felt bad.
Me too.
I was like, how attached? He's like, well, they're fish.
Steve Fezzik texting us to give me a little grief, and it's they are pets, but yes, it's a tough line, you know. Fish.
Did he text me? Oh, I guess he did. Text
yeah, he did.
Yeah. Relax, Stevie. Three Jack H 3131. Listening to Drew makes me want to get a fish. Oh, I thought the same thing. Listening to Drew makes me want to get a fish tank full of pretty fish and name them Paula, Camila, and Kornikova. I agree. Three Jack also adds, hey, Gil, when do we get another Kelly Interprets the News segment?
I'm working on it right now. I'm working on Yannick Sinner again.
Skins, comms, whatever. Now down under 3-1 to win the East. I know, man. I know. But I do think it's correct that, you know, this is it's an interesting schedule because now we get to see them against a incremental step up in competition. So we'll see how it goes for Jaden Daniels and the Skins. All right. Before we get to baseball, and we're going to have Paul Spohr on later, we're going to go through all the baseball series here in the wild card round. I just want to say a couple words about Pete Rose. Pete Rose passed away yesterday at the age of 83. Much has been said. Pete Rose, obviously the all-time hit king, 4,256 lifetime hits, known as Charlie Hustle, the author of the Head First Dive, ran to first base on walks, so many sort of iconic images of him. 1963 Rookie of the Year, 1973 MVP, 17-time All-Star, 3 batting titles, 2 Gold Gloves, 10 seasons of 200 hits. Only he and Ichiro have done that. Anyway, those are his accolades on the field. And then, of course, the one huge negative on the field, again, he ruined Ray Fosse's career, trying to win the 1970 All-Star game, barreling him over at home plate. But as a ball player, there is no doubt that Pete Rose is one of the greatest players of all time. And famously, though, as everyone was saying on television yesterday, a complicated figure as well. And he was. He was banned from the sport of baseball, a lifetime ban in 1989 for betting on baseball, which is the cardinal sin that apparently is posted in every locker room. You're not supposed to do that, obviously, because it's all about the integrity of the game. If this isn't kosher, what we're watching, then what do we really have here? And of course, baseball is a sport historically marred by the Black Sox scandal at the beginning of the 20 or the early part of the 20th century. And so Rose was banned from baseball in 1989. He didn't admit to betting on baseball until 2004. Even though all of us kind of knew that this was the guy that we all know that just won't admit it kind of thing. So the bottom line is, the reason I bring it up is because Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame. And I bring this up every year. I do the Barry Bonds thing every year where they announce the Hall of Fame induction class. And I've done it so many times that now we just play back previous episodes of A Numbers Game. And my whole point with when I'm talking about Barry Bonds and steroids is it pertains to this as well. We are stewards of a museum, a living museum that evolves with time. It is pretentious of us as human beings that live now to determine that we are not going to let future generations even know that these ballplayers existed. In other words, with Bonds, I always say, if you want to put a plaque of his where it says alleged to have taken steroids, and so stats are inflated, even though Barry Bonds was already a Hall of Famer before that, but that's a whole other story, then do that. Put the plaque in there, right? You're allowed to do that. Same thing with Pete Rose. You are, in my opinion, as stewards of this living museum, and not so arrogant that we won't even let future generations even know about these ballplayers, put Pete Rose in, you should have, and put a plaque that says he bet on baseball, had a lifetime ban, only admitted to it 15 years later. By the way, there's other off the field things. If you want to include that in there on the plaque, you can as well, whatever it is. But you put him in. And now I feel, this is just me, but the reason I bring this up is because I just think it is shameful. I think it is shameful that this man wasn't allowed the knowledge that he was in the Hall of Fame before his passing. I just think that is just such a, and again, I'm not saying he was a good guy. Probably, you know, based on everything we know, probably wasn't a good guy, right? But we get into a situation where we now get, everybody's subjectivity of what's a worse crime than the other, right? Is Barry Bonds in the steroids era, allegedly, is that a crime that you find to be the worst? Is Pete Rose betting on baseball a crime, in quotes, that you find to be the worst? Let us remember that O.J. Simpson is still in the NFL Hall of Fame, right? O.J. Simpson allegedly killed two people. I say that because apparently in the criminal court, he was found not guilty, as we know. But I'm just saying that's the point, right? The NFL still has O.J. Simpson in theirs. But it's as if we were so judgmental on Pete Rose that we wouldn't have allowed him to even have that one thing before his passing to let him know that he was in the Hall of Fame. By the way, I bet you posthumously they're going to have some Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame thing. And then how are you going to feel about the fact that they didn't even let him have that information while he was alive? So again, it just drives me crazy that this arrogance about halls of fame and us thinking we are so judgmental because we're all so perfect, right? All of us are 100%. Yeah, some of us are more perfect than others. I get it. I'm not saying he was a good person, but what are we doing that we didn't allow this guy to just have that information, regardless of all his massive warts? So that's my P. Rose thing. I just want to be consistent with what I say about the steroid era in baseball and guys like Bonds every year. You shouldn't have a Cooperstown without these guys in them.
Yep.
My opinion.
I agree with you. I think the way you talk about Barry Bonds every single year, every single time, I stand by you with that. And P. Rose, I think it's a more complicated, history and story to me, but it is, as far as what got done on the field. And it was wild yesterday. I mean, just talking to Ben, I was talking to Ben Wilson on the phone yesterday.
Ben Wilson, who did a podcast with Pete Rose.
As little as like, what, 2 years ago? Yeah. Less than that? Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's wild when you hear of some of these guys passing
away. Had dinner with a great Ben Wilson last week. Great dude. Okay. Going to be more famous than all of us here at VSiN, by the way. He loves when I say that. Here's the playoff format for those who don't know. Best of three for the wild card round, which begins today. This happens over 3 days. It's all in the higher seeds ballpark, all three games. It's in a 3-day span because they don't want the teams that have the byes to wait that long. Once we get to the division round, it's a best of five. The best of five is 2-2-1. Two games at home, travel to the road team for two games, then the fifth and deciding game goes back to the higher seeded team. So 2-2-1. When we get to the championship round and to the World Series, that's 2-3-2. The only difference in the postseason, remember, no ghost runners if we get to extra innings. Okay? That's the only difference in terms of regular season and postseason. Oh, there is a
pitch clock?
I'm sorry?
Pitch clock still. Okay.
There is one difference this year from previous years, which is the World Series. If the World Series ends before a certain date, the championship round ends before a certain date, they will actually move the World Series up.
Oh, that's cool.
They won't make you wait till like a time in space where they're like, nope, this is when it starts and that's it. Like the NBA does, where we've got to wait 10 days.
Right, because usually that's a TV deal situation, right?
So the World Series is malleable in that way. I bet game ones, I bet series here, and I've got World Series matchups. Today, I've got the Orioles, I got the Tigers as a dog, and I got the Padres in game ones. That is consistent with who I have in the series bets. I did not touch the Brewers-Mets series. They were my game bets, by the way. Those are the prices that I got on the three teams. But as far as the series bets are concerned, I bet all these in those respective series as well. Got the Orioles beating the Royals. As much as I love the Royals, I think the Orioles found something against the Yankees. I think they're playing a little better than they have been. So I think the Orioles come through against the Royals in a tight series. I like the Tigers as a dog against the Astros. As good as the Astros have been here of late, the Tigers have been even better. And I like in a best of three that they get Scooble going today. So I think the Tigers take game one and take the series. And then the Padres against the traveling Atlanta Braves, who had to travel cross country in short time, have the Padres at -175. And again, I didn't touch the Mets and the Brewers. And then my World Series matchups, my two Diamondbacks ones have gone by the wayside, but I have six left that I made. We'll get to those with Paul Sporer. I'll give you those World Series matchups coming up when we talk baseball a little later on in the show. Will Hill with all of his baseball bets and beyond. And I do mean beyond, because he's got some creative bets he'd like to share. That's on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.